In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for tonight is from Psalm 32, which we just prayed earlier in the service, a penitential psalm. We will also be examining, as it teaches us, the office of the keys, as we read from the Small Catechism. There was a statement in that psalm that struck me. It went like this, if I can find it. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You are a hiding place for me. But how often do we hide from God? Have you ever tried to hide from God? Psalm 32, written and prayed by King David, compares the man who hides from God to the man who hides in God. This doesn't really have anything to do with outward hiding. It has to do with the same thing that we heard last week in the Old Testament reading about Adam and Eve. Or like King David, or even Judas Iscariot in today's reading. To excel at hiding from God. We may be able to walk down the street and convince everyone that we are the perfect Christian, leading an upright and moral life, making it look like we have everything together. That is to say, we're pretty good at hiding our thoughts and our actions, being emotionally in control. So you can keep thoughts of betrayal or adultery to yourself. You can keep your thoughts of coveting or wishing for something that isn't yours under control. You can even turn your gossip into something that sounds very much like sympathy for whoever happens to be under attack. Yes, we can hide our sins very well, at least outwardly. But hiding them from God, however, doesn't work too well. Notice from the psalmist what happens when we hide our sins from him. In verses 3 and 4, he wrote and sang, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." In other words, dear friends, David is telling us that when we hide our sin from God, it has consequences. We'll hear about other consequences in the weeks to come, but one of them that we know very well is guilt. Guilt eats at you. It won't go away. You can cover it up with work or with alcohol or whatever distracts you. But guilt will not go away. As David said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." Inwardly groaning. That's God's law coming to bear on your life. And it is uncomfortable. True guilt, guilt according to God's law, is painful. And it's supposed to be. For remember, God's purpose is to forgive your sins. But to do that, you have to feel the weight of them. He has to kill you with them by the law first. It is the old Adam, your sinful nature, that just doesn't want to come clean with God, would rather hide that sin from him. You don't want your God to see your sinfulness. So kind of like a child hiding behind his hands, you think that God won't see your sinfulness if you don't speak it. And yet, according to his wisdom, it still weighs down on you, holds you down. You may be able to put on the happy face for others for a day or for a week or even for an hour, but it's always there. And if you don't let God take care of it, to deal with it, what happens? It becomes a curse to you. That, of course, brings us back to God's purpose. Right away, in the beginning of the psalm, David said, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Blessed to be given by God. Somehow, we get this crazy idea in our head that God is pleased with us when we cover up our own sins, try to justify them by our own thoughts or actions. But it's actually just the opposite. God is pleased when we confess our sins, so that he can do his work of blessing us, forgiving our transgressions, covering our sins, recreating us in his image. God wants to forgive your sins more than anything else in the world. That's what he lives for. Indeed, that's what he died on the cross for. He is dying to forgive you. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents, and that's you. So that brings us to the question, how does God deal with this guilt, with our sin? How does God forgive us our sins? That's what Lent is all about, is remembering that, or especially remembering that on our midweek services as we look at the penitential psalms. As we confessed from the small catechism, God forgives our sins through the office of the keys, that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. As it is written in St. John chapter 20, Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." God in his mercy has given to his church on earth keys, binding and loosing keys, to forgive sins and to bind the sins of those who do not repent. This is his good work, always leading to the forgiveness of sins. In other words, these keys show you the place where God gives you that forgiveness. Indeed, they open the door that you may dwell in him, not hiding from him. God does this in several ways, as you know. He forgives your sins through the preaching, through hearing of God's word, through the Lord's Supper, through baptism, and through two different kinds of holy absolution. All these things are forgiveness, of course. Absolution is just another 50-cent word for forgiveness. But there are two specific ways that God absolves, when we use that word, forgiving your sins in this place. One of them you know very well, and the other one you may not know at all, at least not in person. The first we call general confession and absolution. That's what we do at the beginning of every divine service. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, and so forth. And then I, as your pastor, in the stead and by the command, absolve, that is, forgive your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's not me doing it at all. It's all God's doing. The second kind of confession and absolution is one that's been in our hymnals through our whole history, although it's fallen into disuse in many places. We call it sometimes private or individual confession and absolution. This one you may not know at all. I certainly didn't know it until I went to the seminary. I'd never experienced it myself. This is when someone comes to the pastor privately or individually and confesses their sins. They may have specific sins to confess, although it's not required. They may not. And then, using the words almost identical to those in our divine service, I declare the forgiveness of sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is a particularly wonderful way that our Lord gives to you forgiveness of sins. It becomes a hiding place for you. You hide those sins in him. Actually, they're put to death in him. Like a treasure hidden in an old shoebox, this gift of individual confession and absolution, as I said, has been little used for generations among Lutherans. I think David was probably on to why. He said, human beings are by nature, at least from his opinion, like the horse or the mule, wanders away from the good things, sometimes needs to be curbed with bit and bridle back to where the good things are for them. That's what our Lord does with us. We don't always know what's good for us, but rather we hear God's word of forgiveness where he's promised to give it. and we by nature there hide in him rather than wallow in our sin. God seeks us out. He wants nothing more than to forgive your sins and to release you from the pain, the hurt, the guilt that your sins bring with them. As we prayed with the psalmist, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. And as St. Paul wrote in Colossians, he said, "For you have died, the old Adam, and your life, new Adam, is hidden with Christ in God." Flee to God's mercy. Don't hide from him. Flee to Jesus Christ and his word of absolution, of forgiveness. Hide in God, not from God, and God will protect you and hold you in the palm of his hand. In the name of Jesus, amen.